According to Acts 3, verse 1, the Bible says Peter and John were going to the Jewish temple. As they were on their way, they met a lame man. The Bible says, Luke tells us that the man had never walked. From the time of birth, this man had never taken a step. Luke also tells us that for this man to get where he needed to be, people carried him every single day. He was a beggar. That was how he made his living. He saw Peter and John coming by, and he hoped to get some money from them. Well, Peter and John noticed this man, and they said to him, look on us. The man did that because he thought that they would give him some money, but Peter said, no, we're not going to give you money. We have something better to give you, and that is the ability to walk. And that's what was done. This man was not only able to walk, the Bible says in Acts 3, verse 8, that he was able to leap. There were some people who saw this miracle, and we begin to get into the response of the people in Acts 3, verse 9, and that's a passage that I want to read. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. So the people took notice of this. And as they considered it, Peter finally said something to the individuals that were aware of it, and this information is in verse 10, or 12 rather. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this man? Or why fasten ye your eyes on us? As though we by our own power or godliness, we made him to walk. The Apostle Peter, as he replied to these people, used the word godliness. Well, what is godliness? We've seen that word. Perhaps as we've read through the Bible at different times, we know that Peter spoke about this quality at a later time in his writings. He used it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In that passage, Peter talks about what are typically called the Christian graces. He says that there is the Christian grace of godliness. Well, what is this Christian quality? We will define that a little bit later in the lesson, but if you have one of the study sheets, one of the outlines, we want to approach things a little differently this morning. I want to show where the word is used, and then after we run these references, then I want to explain what the word means. We begin with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. There are only five books in the New Testament that use the word translated godliness. We have the reference in Acts chapter 3. It's used in 1 Timothy. It's used in 2 Timothy. It's used in Titus. And it's used in the book of 2 Peter. It's not a rare word, but it is limited to these five books. It's a term that's found 15 times in the New Testament. And most of the places where it occurs will be the book of 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you've turned there, you may remember that the chapter begins by talking about prayer. Paul said that prayer needs to be given for all men. And then in verse 2, he talks about who some of those men are. He begins by introducing rulers. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. He says, we want to pray for kings and all that are in high place, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. God's will for his people, that they live with all godliness. Whatever that word means, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 seems to indicate that it is pretty important. Then we find the word occurring in the next chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. There Paul talked about the mystery of godliness. Now we will not read that particular text, but we will read two verses from the next chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Our word is used in 1 Timothy 4, 7, and also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. In 4:7, Paul said, but refuse profane and old wives' tales, or fables, and exercise thyself unto godliness. Paul said, as we go through the Christian life, there are some things that need to be refused or rejected, some things that we want to turn away from if we're children of God. There's some information that's silly. There's some information that's useless. But Paul says godliness is very valuable. Then in verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, he uses this word again. He says, for bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable or useful for all things. God's people are told to exercise themselves unto godliness. And there's a reason for that in the text. It is profitable unto all things. Paul said that this godliness will help us now in this life. And he goes on to say it will help us in the life to come, that it has eternal valuable. Well, once again, we're not told what godliness is, but we are told that it is very, very important. Skipping 1 Timothy chapter 5, we come to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in this chapter, godliness is a word that's used several times. It is used in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Paul said, if any man teacheth a different doctrine and consents not to the sound words even of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, and then he gives the consequences, he's puffed up. Christians can make some poor choices. 1 Timothy 6, 3 tells us that Christians can teach otherwise. That is, they may be involved with information that is not consistent with the gospel of Christ. Paul says in this verse that there are wholesome words that God's people may not want to hear or follow. even the words of Christ may not be accepted by God's people. So the apostle said to this young preacher, you need to know about the doctrine according to godliness, and you need to stick with that. Well, that tells us that there is some teaching, there is some doctrine, some information from God that is associated somehow with godliness. Now, godliness is not mentioned in verse 4, but it is used in verses 5 and 6. And let's go down to verse 5. There Paul says, wranglings of men corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth, and supposing that godliness is a way of gain. There are some people who do not have godliness. Paul says a person with a corrupt mind does not have godliness. When a person is destitute of the truth, same verse, they do not have godliness. Godliness appears to be something that will make people stand out. In other words, if a person possesses godliness, they will be unique among men. The Bible also warns us that there are some who will try to misuse godliness. In that same verse that was read, Paul said he warned that there are some who will take godliness and they'll try to use it to make gain. Some people have used godliness to make money, but Paul said that's not what a true Christian does. Godliness is associated with something else, as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. True godliness, the Bible says, is associated with contentment. Well, godliness is great gain. But here Paul hints at the idea that it is not financial gain. Rather, godliness is associated with some basic Christian qualities. We may infer that from what he says a little later in this chapter, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And Paul said, you follow after righteousness. You follow after godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Well, after 1 Timothy, we come to 2 Timothy, and I'm going to cite the rest of these references there on your sheet. Another reference which has godliness is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. There Paul talked about people who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Just because someone seems to have godliness, Paul says that does not necessarily mean it is so. Moreover, this passage says that godliness is associated with power. Then we have the word occurring in Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Titus was told that godliness and truth go hand in hand. In other words, we cannot have godliness without truth. We cannot have truth without godliness. All these passages seem to indicate that godliness is a basic part of the Christian life. It should be just as natural to us as eating, drinking, and sleeping. Then we have Peter using godliness in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He talked about life and godliness, which again suggests that this is to be a natural part of a Christian's existence. We've already given the reference in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. And then in 2 Peter 1, verse 7, we have a final reference for godliness, the 15th passage. Paul says brotherly kindness is associated with godliness. I'm sorry, 2 Peter 3, 11 always uses the same term too. Peter said our lives should be godly. That's the 15th time and the last time it's used in the scriptures. So as you look at this particular word, you can go through all 15 of these passages, and you find that it is a condition that is necessary to possess in the lives of God's people. Well, since we know that it is a requirement, we're in a position to ask, what does godliness mean? And here's a simple definition. Godliness is a right attitude towards God and right conduct towards God. Attitude and conduct, both correct and both directed towards God. Our world likes to say a lot about attitude. People are quick to say, well, he has a bad attitude or she has a bad attitude. And the world points it out in a hurry. I was thinking about this material this past week, followed at different times a fairly prominent news story. It was about the radio talk show host who was well known for his sarcasm and harsh language. I don't think that there's maybe but one or two people here who may not know that this man was fired. He was terminated. He lost his job because the world said he engaged in bad conduct. Well, as the world runs around and talks about him and some other people as far as bad attitudes, as they talk about people who have conducted themselves in a bad way, I find it interesting that the world forgets something. It forgets God. Where is the concern about having a right attitude towards God? Where is the concern? Where is the worry about having conduct that is not pleasing to God? Conduct that violates his word. Of all the condemnation offered about the radio talk show host, there was not a single person that I heard. There was not a single person in print that I saw that talked about this kind of speech or this kind of conduct offending God. Did you see it? I dare say it wasn't out there. Maybe a couple people, maybe a religious person said that at some point, but I simply was not made aware of it. It certainly was not out there in the mainstream reporting. In the spiritual realm, people, when they think about God and Christianity, they basically come to this conclusion, well, we should just do whatever we feel and whatever we believe is right. That's a form of godliness. 2 Timothy 3:5. And Paul says that doesn't work. Someone or something may look religious, but that's all that it is. It looks religious. You know, a person may seem like they have a right attitude towards God. It may seem like a person's conduct concerning God is correct. But what we see is really incorrect for one, maybe two reasons. First of all, it may be that the person whose conduct towards God, whose attitude towards God, that individual really doesn't believe in God. A man may be honest, a man may be respectful, a man may be moral, at least by the way that we generally define morality, but he's an atheist. Good qualities, in and of themselves, do not mean that a man or a woman is godly. On a flip side of that point, we can say that just because a person professes godliness, their life may be a fake. It may be a sham. Perhaps no better example of that comes from what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 23. You remember that Jesus talked about Matthew 23:5. Some people, the Pharisees and the scribes, and he said what they're doing, they do to be seen of men. The religion was a show. Jesus said in that same verse that these men used special things with the clothing to portray to their world how religious they were. Jesus then said in Matthew 23:7 that these men liked religious titles, such as rabbi. They wanted that show of godliness. Then in verse 14, Jesus said when these people prayed, they prayed long prayers. But Jesus said it's all a pretense. It's all a show. It's fake. These people pretend to be godly, but they are not. God wants godliness in his people. He requires that in his people. And that quality has to be real. Earlier we cited 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And in those two verses, Paul talked about exercising ourselves unto godliness. That is, by using the word exercise, Paul meant that this is something that we need to work on. We need to strive for. It's going to require effort. There has to be work on our part to make sure that our conduct is right in the sight of God. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, the latter part of that thought, Paul said, godliness is profitable unto all things. That is, if our conduct towards God is right and our attitude is right towards God, that's going to help us in this life. And there will also be an eternal benefit as well. We will be the type of child that God looks at and says, this is certainly one of our children. We cited in the list of references, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Paul said there are people who look at godliness and they see it as a way to get gain. And that's certainly true. We find today people using things from the Bible, using things from the religion to make them popular. We find people using religion as a cloak to make money. There's some people who use it to maintain good health. Religion has been used to better one's social standing. I've seen people use it as a get out of jail card. And if they can't get out of jail, they'll use it to reduce a prison sentence. Well, Paul said back in those verses that we looked at that that's not godliness. He says that's a corrupt mind. Those people are bereft of the truth. They have no interest in godliness. Right conduct towards God and the right attitude towards God are just as important today as they were in the first century for this reason. The right conduct and the right attitude will make us godly. When we're godly, we have a life that's centered on God, not on self. You may remember that in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, there was a man who one day came to Jesus and he said, I want to know, what does the law teach? What's the greatest commandment? What did Jesus say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Matthew 22, verse 37. That's godliness. Jesus summed it up right there. We have a right attitude towards God, and we have the right conduct towards God because we're following heaven's word. Godliness means an undivided and an undying dedication to Christ and his church. One source has defined godliness in this way. The definition he offered is what man owes God. What man owes God? That's godliness. It's also been defined as the heart of the faith, that is the core of Christianity. And we can give a moment or two of attention to these definitions. God exists, and the single word godliness tells us that we owe him something. Each accountable person has a debt that they owe to God, and that debt needs to be paid. We can either allow that debt to be paid now, we can honor the obligation that we have now, or the Bible says we can pay some very serious, severe, and eternal consequences at a later time. We also think about the other definition that was given, that godliness is the heart of the Christian faith. That is a right attitude and right conduct, those are absolutely essential to becoming and to continuing as a Christian. There is no other way. We've got to have godliness. And it starts by a right attitude. It starts, as Jesus once said in the Sermon on the Mount, that we need to be meek. We need to recognize sin for what it is and that we are guilty. Keith mentioned that in the Lord's Supper. You know, we are the ones. We can put our name in there as we look at various passages. Godliness means that with the right attitude, we're going to repent. Godliness means that we're going to have the right attitude that says Christ is our Savior. We can't do it ourselves. And the right action is baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 22, verse 16. And once we take that step, once we become a Christian, then we do our best. As Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, we begin to put on those Christian qualities, those Christian graces. We covet those. We cultivate those. And we grow into the kind of person that God wants by the right attitudes and the right actions. If godliness has not been part of our life, this morning there's still at least one more chance to embrace that quality so we can please God. It's right there. He's given us the information. If we've not yet acted on it because we've not become a Christian by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, or we have become a Christian and we've let godliness slip away, this morning you have a chance to write things with God. And if you'd like to do that and receive help from those who are here, will you not come as we stand and sing the selected song?